Randy, can we withhold this this service's paycheck from him? I can't believe you took the... Anyway, thank you all. Thank you all. Yes, I am now 41 years old today. Thank you. Yes. Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
We are called to help childlike believers.
And not to condemn them.
To teach and to guide.
And to preserve the peace.
It is good for us to be here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse us, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
we do, empower us to bear the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The first reading is from Numbers, the 11th chapter. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up. There is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child,' to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of the meeting and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 19 responsively with me. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
But who can detect their errors? Clear me from any faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading is from the 5th chapter of James. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. His disciple John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him. For no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm never dies, the fire is never quenched. For whoever will be salted with for everyone. Will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it's lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Does anyone ever during my sermons? Has it ever happened to you? I don't know. So what I do to get ready for my sermons is usually late in the evening, I will be rehearsing I will literally stand down in my kitchen when everyone else is asleep, and then they hear part of my sermon because I give it really loud in my kitchen several times before I come here and do it, and they hear part of it. But anyway, I keep them awake. But anyway, at 12:01, my daughter, Lydia, creeps around the corner and yells, "Happy birthday!" And it scared me. It like literally scared me, and I go, "Ah!" And she goes, "Ah!" And she got scared too. It was wild. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that. So at some point in this sermon, I might just scream out of PTSD. Anyway, that being said, who here wants me to preach or teach a primer on the whole of Christian history today? Anyone up for that? No? No? I mean, I could start today and, oh, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months from now, I'd be, you know, I don't know, into the year 70. No? Fine. Who likes history? No, not many. Some people. A lot of you find it boring, though. So what I'm saying is, who wants me to preach a long, boring sermon today, to which you might respond, how will this one be any different than all the others? So rather than teach the four-month Christian history course, how about I give you the one-verse Sean's Notes version, not the Cliff's Notes, the Sean's Notes version of Christian history. You already heard it once, but you may not have known it was all of Christian history. Jesus' disciple John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. We tried to stop him because he was not following us." What's the problem? Mike, this sermon is for Mike today. Us. Exactly. That's the point. But the disciples whining. John is whining that he's not following us. He's not following us. The problem is us. John says he's not following us. Jesus, make him stop what he's doing because he's not following us. Make him stop doing all of those good works. Make him stop casting out those demons because he's not following us. The concern isn't whether or not he's following Jesus, casting out demons in Jesus' name, but whether this guy is part of that in crowd, part of that inner circle, one of the group, one of us. You think? It's okay, it's just them. We left that in the past. That's not been the last 2,000 years of Christian history. See, the problem is we've spent 2,000 years misreading this text, because otherwise we would have already broadened our circle by now. And as Jesus instructs to be at peace with one another, which we obviously know we are, we ignore this. And instead we favor the inflammatory rhetoric, which when I'm standing up there, it's great to read, tear out your eyes, tear out your, cut your arms off, cut your legs off. I mean, seriously, all you people that are getting knee replacements, just cut your legs off. That's what Jesus says today. These verses have been the basis of many hellfire and brimstone sermons for centuries. I mean, why would you preach the good news of Jesus Christ when we can terrify people into conforming to what we believe that they should believe, lest they burn in the unquenchable fire forever and ever? Amen. Right? So this word, stumble, if your foot causes you to stumble. I love, absolutely love the biblical Greek that gives us this word. It is, and you'll recognize it, sort of, it's just a little different, scandalizo. Sound like a word you recognize? Scandalous, right? If your eyeball causes you to do something scandalous, rip it out. You know what? As a professional preacher, that'll preach. And then we can go and make our Christian hit list of sins. You know, the ones that us pious types, us Christians, never engage in. And we pull our little thing back here and we stand up a little higher than everyone else. And from up here in our bully pulpit, we tell all of these people that they need to turn from your really bad sins. You know, all the really bad ones, the adultery, the avarice, the wickedness, the deceit, the licentiousness, I still haven't figured out what that means, envy and slander, pride and folly, reveling, drunkenness, debauchery, all kinds of sexual immorality, fornication, carousing, lawless adultery. I get them all? Any I leave out? And if they don't turn from their wicked ways towards I would step up higher. Our pious and holy way, then they will honestly be tossed into hell, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. They will end up sinners in the hands of an angry God. But hey, at least they won't be able to say that we didn't warn them. We did our job. We can pat ourselves on the back. But did we do our job in preaching that sermon? No. Do we miss Jesus' warning to his disciples, or do we just not think he's talking to us? If any of you, says Jesus, put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you to have a great millstone hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. And only then, at this point, come these hyperbolic sayings. These sayings that Jesus exaggerates for emphasis. These are hyperbole. He's exaggerating. He says, cut off your hands and feet and rip out your eyes if they're causing you to sin. He doesn't really want us to do this. But he really doesn't want us to do the sin that he really doesn't want us to do today. These warnings are meant for the disciples. They're meant for the followers of Jesus, us, the insiders, not for the little ones in faith. Jesus is saying, if you scandalize one of these little ones, if you make them stumble, Jesus tells his disciples, he tells us, it would be better for you to have 100 cinder blocks hung around your neck and you'd be thrown overboard. Because the alternative is unquenchable fire, and I hear it's pretty hot. How's that for hellfire and brimstone? So when we hear the words little ones, what do we think? We think cute little kid. Oh, there's no cute little kids over here. We think cute little kids, though, right? Oh, wait, we got one. But you're not little. We think cute little kids when we hear little ones, right? Like the one that Jesus picked up last week and preached to the disciples while holding in his arms. Well, guess what? This gospel today continues immediately after that one. So it's very possible Jesus still has that little one with him, right? But here's this thing. It is not limited just to young in age little ones. Little ones also refers to someone else in this gospel text. Who is it?
Us.
Well, perhaps if we are young in faith, yes. But who else in this text is young in faith that's out doing things in Jesus' name? Nope. There's a guy out there casting out demons in Jesus' name, and he is young in faith. How do I know he's young in faith? Because he's not part of that inner circle. We were made sure to know that by John. He wasn't privy to all of Jesus' teachings. He was new to this whole Jesus thing. He was young in faith. He was a little one compared to John, and for the rest of the disciples. And yet, something about Jesus drew him in. He wanted to be a part of what was going on with them. But John and some of the other disciples, they said, no, can't do that. They became stumbling blocks for this man. You're not following us. You don't belong to us. Don't do deeds of power in the name of our Jesus. So if I'm this guy and Jesus' closest followers, his hand-picked 12, are telling me, and yelling at me that you are not authorized to do that, I might just say, you know what? I'm out. I'm out, because if I need to follow you, follow your rules to follow Jesus, then maybe Jesus isn't so great. Maybe Jesus isn't for me. You see, the problem, what Jesus is preaching against, teaching his disciples about, is for us to stop being stumbling blocks. He's not warning his disciples against adultery and avarice and debauchery and fornication and sexual immorality today. Not saying he doesn't warn about it at other times, but today he's preaching against being a stumbling block. It is scandalizing a little one, keeping the young in faith an outsider, making them be an outsider by acting in such a way that keeps them out. that keeps them away from us, that keeps Jesus with us and only us, because there's not enough Jesus to go around, apparently, and tells others that if they want to get to Jesus, they have to go through us first. Isn't that kind of the definition of a stumbling block? You have to go through me to get literally right there? Anyway, just saying. So the history of Christianity in one verse is this. We tried to stop him because he was not following us. And I have to say, we've been pretty terrible as Christians to one another throughout all of Christian history from the very beginning. And it's kind of amazing to me when we look at it that there's even still a thing called Christianity. There have been entire wars fought over Christianity. You guys told me you didn't want the four-month course. I'm not going to tell you about it. But and then you have the Inquisition, but hey, that was the Catholics down the street, right? That was all on them. Us Lutherans would never kill anybody based on their faith, would we? Except for, I hate to bring this up. You ever heard of Anabaptists? Maybe not. Have you ever heard of Amish and Mennonites? The Anabaptists are their ancestors, okay? And in the 16th century, all the way back then, they were all about this believer's baptism, adult baptism, right? They still believe in this. So they didn't conform to our little baby baptism beliefs. So what better way to put them to death for not believing what we believe than by drowning them? That is both sadistic and effective. Good job, Lutherans. Okay, things are a little better. We generally don't murder anyone over our doctrinal issues anymore. But, you know, as Luther said, thought, word, and deed, we murder with our words. We still put up and emphasize divisions. And we see it happening right now in the United Methodist Church. It's something called disaffiliation. You can see it everywhere. What does disaffiliation look like? What does it look like? It looks like you have a sign that says United Methodist Church, and then you go get a razor blade and you take the word United and you scrape it off your sign. And if you think I'm joking, I'm not. It's happened. But it's okay. We Lutherans, we've never had this problem, right? Oh, wait. ELCA, NALC, WELS, LCMC, LCMS. We have become alphabet soup. And if you're looking to become Lutheran, you're like, what is wrong with you people? And I can't blame them. We've become stumbling blocks, outsiders and non-Christian and youth. No wonder they're not interested in what we got going on here. We've become stumbling blocks. And with so much infighting, is there even room for Jesus? But certainly, these are just big church kind of problems, right? Like locally here, we can work together across the other, you know, Christian congregations in the community, can't we? Like ministerial associations here in Galleon, like we can do. Oh, except for that's pretty much non-functional right now. Okay. I got it. We can certainly work together with all of our ELCA brothers and sisters, right? Okay, fine. Within the walls of this church, we never quibble, we never squabble, we never become stumbling blocks to one another. We never keep other people from experiencing and having a relationship with Jesus the Christ, the real reason we're here in the first place, do we? Good thing we don't do that. So I can just end the sermon. Instead of proudly reporting to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone doing good works in your name, and we tried to stop them because he was not following us. What if we tried this? Just an idea. Teacher, we saw someone doing good works in your name, and it got us really excited, so we went and talked to them, and they didn't know much about you, and they were very young in the faith, but they were so curious. So we told them about you, and we invited them to follow us, wait, to you. Follow us to you. so that like us, they could learn from you and follow you. So I'll say this. I will absolutely stand up for Lutheran theology every day of the week. I am convinced that when I get to heaven and I say, Jesus, who was right, he'll say the ELCA Lutherans, like 1,000,000% sure of this. Okay, I hope you know I'm joking on that. Sort of. But I love a lot of what we do. The reason I was willing to be, I really did not want to be a pastor. I really did. But the reason I was willing to become a pastor in the ELCA Lutheran Church is because on Sundays I get to stand up here and I get to say that this food is for everyone. It's not limited. I think that when we open up our table to all, we remove stumbling blocks. What are the stumbling blocks of our faith that keep people from feeling like they can come here, that feel like they can be Christian? Because the last time I checked, Jesus hung out with some pretty seedy people. I'm not saying to you that theology doesn't matter. Theology matters very much. Theology tells us whether or not that table is open to everyone. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it. We absolutely should engage in theological discourse and Bible studies and all the things, having the hard discussions about the hard topics, the relevant topics, the things that matter to us here and now in this world today. But there is a how. There is a how. How we do these things matter. And how exactly do we do this? It's kind of a good news, bad news thing. The good news is that the instructions to the how are simple. The bad news is that following the instructions, it's very hard. The instructions are this. There's a sign. There's signs all over this church. It's love one another. That's the instruction. The problem is, loving one another is really hard when other people kind of aren't great sometimes. And it's kind of hard for them to love us when we're not great sometimes. And I'm not standing up here holding myself as an example on this, because I'm certainly not. But love one another is where it has to start. When we have difficult conversations, we must have them in love. When we disagree, we agree to disagree and keep loving one another anyway, in and through Jesus Christ, because ultimately, isn't it Jesus Christ that connects us anyway? We are a body of Christ. We must, I think, stop drowning people. Let's leave that in the 16th century. Love, I think, removes stumbling blocks. It takes the emphasis off of follow us and points us, all of us, from the old and crotchety. Anyone here old and crotchety? Yeah, I should see lots of hands. To the young and the infantile. It takes us to the same place. Jesus. To Jesus, where our focus should have been all along. And I don't know. Will this sermon change 2,000 years of church history? Undoubtedly, no. It will not. But maybe there can be little pockets of Christianity. Maybe there can be little pockets of Christianity who do it differently. And maybe this can be one. It's a hope. Time will tell if this sermon made a difference here in this place. Maybe we can be one of those little pockets of Christianity that actually hears this. Even though we're broken and we're messed up, you know, from 2,000 years ago all the way up until now. We, all of us, we are still here today. It's kind of amazing, given all of the things Christians have done to try to make sure that Christianity goes away. And guess what? It's really not because of anything any of us did. It's because of what Jesus has done. We can't trip Jesus up. He will find us anyway. Even when we mess up, even when we do stupid, scandalous stuff and we trip ourselves up and we trip other people up, Jesus will pick us up. Jesus will pick them up. Because you see, it's not about us. It's never been about us. It's always been about Jesus. And this is really, really good news, because you know what? If it was about us, if it was about me, if I was left to my own devices to save myself, well, let's just say it would be better for me if there was a great millstone hung around my neck and I was thrown into the sea, because I hear that unquenchable fire. It is pretty darn we are here today because of Jesus, because of what Jesus has done and what Jesus will always do. Because of what Jesus will always do for everyone. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
To join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day,
drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the church, for God's good creation, and all who are in need.
We pray for the people of God and communities of faith in all places. Your Son Jesus admonished his disciples to not stifle those doing work in his name. Restore old and enliven new Lutheran partnerships across Crawford County. Bring us into closer relationship with full communion partners, the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, and the United Methodist Church, and encourage ecumenical dialogue with other congregations across Galleon. Shape our witness to the good news of Jesus, that we joyfully share your transforming love with all whom we encounter. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We pray for peace and cooperation among local and global communities. Encourage peaceful dialogue and actions across Ohio and the nation as we move closer to November's election. Hold in safety all elected officials, all candidates, and all who protect them. Bless the efforts of those who work for peace and justice across the globe, especially this day in the Middle East. We pray for an immediate end to hostilities between Russia and Ukraine, and to the multiple conflicts between Israel and other groups and nations. and a release to all hostages so that lives and communities may be restored. We pray for international aid workers that they may provide relief and be kept safe. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the healing of the earth. Restrain the forces of nature, O God, and show us how to better live at one with your creation. We especially pray for those impacted by Hurricane Helene, for the family and friends of those whose lives were lost, that they may be comforted in the grief, and for those facing an extended period of rebuilding, that they may find stability in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We pray for all who are in need. To all who grieve, bring consolation. To all who are weary or lonely, bring solace. By your grace, make your presence known among all who call you for healing, especially the family and friends of Lonnie, for Troy and his family, for Brian, Martha, Wylea, Paige, and Robin, for Phil, Carl, Jim, Sandy, Scott, Jean, for Stephanie and Nathan, Tina, Kathy, Barb, Jane, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, Ed, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma, for Pam, for Peggy, for Haley, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
We pray for caregivers, doctors, and nurses, home health aides, and counselors, and those who care for loved ones. We pray for assisted living facilities, especially Mill Creek and Magnolia Terrace, their residents, especially Millie and Brenda and Mary Lou, and all who work and volunteer to provide assisted care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. We continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, source of every gift of your creation. By these gifts and with our lives, help us to serve one another and all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to eat, saying to his disciples to eat, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people. For the forgiveness of sin, do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. There are no stumbling blocks set before us and this table. It is open to all people who believe in Jesus Christ. Come here, eat, drink, and be fed. Verses. Kathy wants to hear you play them all. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, you have welcomed us to this meal and fed us with dignity at your table. Send us now to welcome others and to be at peace with one another through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Okay. Now you can hear me, Jeff says. Did you find your pink slip? It's not written on, Abby. You got to write on it. Here. Here, let me see it. Let me see. You keep the pink slips. Pink and yellow. On the pink slip, you write this. How do I or this faith community connect with the community beyond this congregation? That's what you write on that one. On the yellow one, you write, how do I or this faith community connect with all members of the congregation? Worship doesn't count. So, how do you connect with people out there? How do you connect with people in here? Or people that can't come here because they can't leave their houses or they're stuck in a nursing home? Just saying. Anyway, how do you do that? I want it written on the pink one. And on the yellow one, there's all your instructions. Read it during the closing hymn and write it. If you haven't done it yet, I will give you a little reprieve, but you don't get a forever reprieve. This needs to be done. Okay. The children's will be walking around during our closing hymn, and they will be collecting these from you. Because you don't do it on your own. I've tried to get y'all to do it on your own. I need to, like, you know, step in. Kathy, what was that like? You're like, I'm not doing it. I'm not participating. What?
I don't like tests.
It's not a test. I don't even know who filled out what. If you don't have your answer today, I'll put them in there again next Sunday. I'll put them in there again next Sunday. You'll have another opportunity next Sunday. But we need as many answers as we can. We are building a pyramid together. Not John's pyramid, First Lutheran's pyramid. Okay. Last thing. So for hurricane relief, designated for that. Randy will make it all happen. Anyway, so please consider that as you are giving for your noisy offering today. And don't forget the pink and yellow notes.
No! Between anyone and Jesus Christ.
So go forth and remove the stumbling blocks along your way.
Amen.